This morning we're going to be looking together at a passage in Matthew 4 that was read for us earlier in Jesus' temptation in the wilderness by Satan. And we're going to kind of focus in just on one verse. That's verse number 4, where Jesus is in the wilderness and he is there for 40 days. He's not eaten, he's very hungry, and Satan appears in that hour of weakness, in that hour of hunger, and he says, "Turn stones into bread if you're the Son of God." And Jesus' response is the verse I want us to really just focus in on, this one verse this morning. Jesus' response to Satan is, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We have come here today, and we've gathered as a group of people, and all of us have come looking for something. We come as people that are broken. We come as people that are lost and aimless. We come as people that are struggling, people that are tempted, people that are wrestling with things. And we've come here today to the assembly of God's people because we're hungry. Some of us don't, we know we're hungry, but we're not really sure what we're hungry for. And Jesus tells us here that if you're living your life just based on the physical, just the physical appetites, you're going to always be hungry, because deep within yourself there is a hunger. And that hunger can only be provided, not can only be satisfied, not by what you put in your mouth, but what comes out of His mouth, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This morning, more than bread alone. February 14th, this past year, at about 5:30 in the morning, something very bizarre occurred. Motion sensors and security cameras caught something that was very strange, a very strange phenomenon on camera, and you can actually watch the video online. At 5:30 in the morning on February the 14th, in Bowling Green, Kentucky, at the National Corvette Museum, the earth literally opened up and swallowed 8 cars, many of them rare and very expensive. This hole was 40 feet wide and 30 feet deep, and it actually just swallowed these 8 vehicles. It was a very strange kind of thing, and it was a sinkhole that just appeared out of nowhere and swallowed up these cars. Nobody saw it coming. This building was built on top of the ground there, and for years it has held up the pressure, but then out of nowhere, there's a collapse. We come here today, people that are facing unbelievable pressure in the culture in which we live. We feel the pressure from every direction. We feel the strain, we feel the stress, and you probably, like me, feel like you're being pulled in a million directions, and you feel as if you're burning the candle at both ends, and you feel exhausted about 90% of the time. We feel the pressures of life. And those pressures are mounting on our shoulders, and they continue to mount, and really there's nothing that's going to change about that. I mean, we can say no to some things, we can try to pull back, we can try to limit the things that we're involved in, but really life is full of the demands that life brings. And the only question is, do you have the infrastructure within yourself to be able to withhold that pressure? Because you see, that sinkhole was there and was at work a long time before that collapse happened. And in your life, there can be lots of things going on, and you can hold up the pressure for a long time. You can deal with all of the strain, but like much of the infrastructure that happens even on our cities and bridges in our country today, you look underneath and you see some deterioration. And if the infrastructure of the spirit, of the soul, the essence of who you are on the inside is being starved, you can hold up the pressure for a while, but eventually there'll be a collapse because you've neglected the inner self. And you can only neglect your inner self so long before it all comes crashing down. I'm convinced that too many people in the world today, in our culture, in America, and even in the church, are neglecting their inner selves. And it's easy to do. It's easy for all of us to do. It's easy for any Christian to do, even elders and preachers, to neglect your inner spiritual health. And Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." There are many things in this life that call out for your attention, that scream out and demand that you give attention right now to this. And all the while, quietly, within yourself, you feel this gnawing hunger that's saying, "Feed me." And it's so easy to put that to the side and to ignore that and to ignore that. But if you ignore it for too long, there will be a collapse. Because you cannot live by bread alone. You cannot live simply by just dealing with the immediate demands of life on the outside. Because you know it, and I know it, that inside of us, there is something that has to be fed. You can't live just simply on the physical things of the outer world. You can't live on bread alone. I think that many of the emotional problems that we struggle with, and guess what? We're not immune from it. It's not just people in the world that have emotional problems. The church is filled with people that have emotional problems, and there's different reasons for those emotional problems. And I don't mean to paint with too broad of a brush. I mean, some people have physiological issues. Some people have issues of the past that were beyond their control that continue to haunt them. There are various reasons why we have emotional problems, but I would say this. I would say not all, but many emotional problems that we deal with are the result and may be very closely linked to a spiritual starvation that has occurred within our own lives. We have starved the inner self because we have just been giving all of our attention on the outer life, and we've been trying to live by bread alone, and Jesus says, "You shall not live that way. You shall not live by bread alone, but you will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." God provides something. He provides spiritual nourishment that comes from His mouth that can feed your inner self and give you inner peace and inner strength to withhold the demands and pressures of life. But that inner self has to be fed. It has to be nourished, and it can only be nourished from the bread that comes from above. The bread that comes from the mouth of God. If you're trying to live by bread alone, if you're trying to just live by the outer self, the demands of the outer life, if you're just trying to feed yourself only by what goes in your mouth, so to speak, you will starve to death, because you've got to live by what comes out of His mouth, which is His eternal divine word. You got to live by what proceeds out of God's mouth. And that is why it is so vitally important that you and I give focused, regular, concentrated attention to what has come out of His mouth. God's Word is not simply just a book among books. The Bible is not just simply an ancient document. But instead, what we have preserved within its pages is a message that has come from the Creator of the universe. The Word of God Himself has been preserved in the pages of this book. He has given us instruction and nourishment that can feed ourselves, that can feed our spirits, and can give us life. And that is why it is so vitally important that you and I study regularly the Bible. You see, the Bible is not like any other book, because you can read other books, and you can read them and you can get the gist of it, and you can say, "Well, I've read that book." But the Bible is not just a book to be read. The Bible is a book to feed from. It is something, somebody says, "You know, you can read the Bible, I don't care how many times I read it, I see something new." Well, that's not because the Bible changes from time to time, or somehow there's some hidden message that you just haven't unearthed. But the Bible is a living book that is so powerful because it proceeds from God's mouth that it fits every circumstance and situation, regardless of the pressures and the situations that you're dealing with in your outer life. You can come to the Bible fresh every time, and it will say something that you need for the moment that you didn't need yesterday or last week or last year, but you need right now. And so it's ever new. It's not because it changes. It's the eternal, changeless Word. But it is ever new and ever fresh because you are always changing. And you always need something new and something different and something that addresses what you are dealing with right now. And so that's why it's so crucial that you be in the Word and that I be in the Word and feed from the Word. And you can do that, and you're called to do that on an individual basis, to study God's Word daily. And if you've gotten out of that habit, if you're sitting there right now and you know you've not been feeding from God's Word like you should, I want to say to you this morning, you need to repent of that. And you need to make a change, and you need to get back in the Word consistently. But it's not only, I think, an individual responsibility, but the early church gathered together frequently for the purpose of hearing the apostles' doctrine to be read. The early church had letters from apostles, and those letters would be read in an assembly like this, and people would sit and they would listen to the Word of God that came through the apostles. But not only that, but they would get together and they would focus their attention not just on hearing it and understanding God's Word, but living it out. And so they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts chapter 2 tells us. And so Christians gathered together for the purpose of not only learning, but applying the apostles' doctrine, the Word of God, the Word that proceeded forth from inspired men that came directly from God's mouth. And so it's important not only for you to study individually, but to gather with other Christians for the purpose of studying God's Word. And you say, well, why is that important? Why can't I just study on my own? Why do I need to gather with other Christians? Because God's Word is meant to not just feed you individually, but it is designed to connect you together spiritually into a family of believers. It's called the church. And the early church, when you read about it in the pages of the Bible, you discover that God had certain people put in place in the church for specific reasons. And one of those, God appointed, Ephesians 4 tells us, God appointed in the church teachers. Teachers. Who are the teachers? They are those that have given unbelievable amounts of time, energy, and focus on mining the truths of God's Word and presenting them in a way that can be applied in your life. And God intends for the church to have teachers, and God intends for the church, for you as Christians, for me as a Christian, to come and to be a part of gathered, focused, intentional studies in community where teachers share with us the Word of God. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian treasurer is traveling and he's reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and a preacher by the name of Philip joins the chariot and he says, what are you reading? And he tells him what he's reading and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says this, how can I unless someone guide me? God saw the need in the church for you to have a personal responsibility to be in the Word daily, but also to benefit from the function of teachers that God has appointed in the church so that you can be guided into deeper understandings of God's truth. And for that reason, the church in the past and the church today believes in the importance of getting together as a group to study deeply from the truth of God's Word, to feed from what comes from His mouth. And that's why we have Bible classes here at Maryville. We have a wide variety of classes on Wednesday night and on Sundays for that very purpose. And we want to make those classes the best they can be. We have a committee here, an adult education committee, where we try to get together and we try to decide on, okay, what are our classes going to study? What's going to be the order of study? And we need your help because we want to do the best job that we can do in providing the best classes for our adults in this church that we possibly can. So we're going to do something this morning. I've got some volunteers, and so everybody that I've asked, there's been several people, I need my volunteers to come and help me hand these out. We've got a survey we're going to ask you to fill out right now in the pew as you sit. You guys just gather one of those, make sure everybody gets one of these, and then everybody needs a note card. And then I need one volunteer here, Mike. Would you raise your hand if you don't have something to write with, because you're going to need a pen. So raise your hand real good and high, and Mike's going to hand you a pen. And you can keep that pen. Rob, I'm using your pens this morning, Rob. Rob Stevenson's got some, he ordered some pens for us that have our church email and address on it. So you keep that pen, and then find somebody you can give that pen to in our community that gives information about the Maryville Church. So if you need a pen, he's going to give you a pen. And the survey here is not, it's just one sheet. We're not going to just kill you with a survey. It shouldn't take you just about 5 minutes to fill out. But there are several questions here asking about the program here of our adult Bible classes. So everybody 18 and up needs to fill out one of these forms. And so just kind of give your feeling about these questions. There's also some questions at the bottom asking for your additional input, if you've got some ideas for classes and things like that, ways we can improve our education program. You can write that on the back of the sheet. And when you get done with this, we're going to fill it out right now because we want to get it back from you. You see, if we just give you this and say, all right, go home and fill this out, you know how many of these we'll get back? We'll get like five back. Okay? We want to get all of these back. So we're going to ask you to fill it out right now. And so as you fill this out, when you get done, you can just, I don't really know the best way to do this. I would say just you can lay it on the pew beside you and we'll collect them. Or better yet, you could pass them maybe to the inner aisle and we can have them stacked up and we could gather them together easier that way. The note card, we're also handing everybody note cards. And here's the reason for that. This sheet is anonymous. You do not have to put your name on it. Because we want your honest, hopefully kind, but raw feedback about what you feel about our Bible classes, okay? So we're not asking you to put your name on this. It's completely anonymous, and so we want your honest feedback. All right, but there's a question on here that says something to the effect of, would you be interested in teaching an adult class? And if you mark yes on that, then how are we going to know who you are? That's what this card is for. We want your survey to be anonymous, but if you're willing, if you check yes, I'm interested in teaching an adult class, then write your name on an index card and say, yes, my name is Jonathan Jones. Don't write that. Write your name. Insert your name there. All right? Now I'm going to get some real witty people giving me cards back. My name is Jonathan Jones. All right, insert your name there. My name is, insert your name. I'm willing to teach an adult class, would be interested in teaching an adult class, and then you can fill that out. And so when you've done that, you completed the survey, you completed the cards, pass them to the inner aisle and on each side, and we'll collect these. So we're going to give you, about 10 minutes to fill this out. That should be adequate time. And so a little bit of solitude and silence here as you fill these out, and then we'll kind of get going from there after that. So I'll give you about 10 minutes. If you came here this morning looking for peace in the midst of the turmoil and pressures of life, I hope that I've not added pressure to your life by test anxiety this morning. This was not a test. There are no right or wrong answers. We're just trying to get your feedback. I know that some of you probably are not finished. We want your feedback. We don't want any doctoral dissertations. Not looking for a novel here. But if you've got some feedback that can help us regarding those last questions on the survey on the back of the sheet, please finish that today before you leave, and leave that with us. We want to try to collect all of these at the end of the service today. You may have come here today feeling the strain of life and feeling the pressures of life. And I heard someone say one time, a teacher that I once had, he said, people come to church looking for some word from God. They're looking for a message from God. And I want you to know this morning that God has given a message to you. And that message is that you can find a place of peace and rest, a place of calmness in your spirit and in your soul, that you can know that you have assurance with God, your Creator. You're never going to find that by your own good doing, by working hard enough or trying to be good enough, because you know within yourself you never will measure up to a holy God. And for that reason, we have the message of good news, the message of the gospel that Jesus has given us, that we're saved not by our own doing, not by our works, lest any man should boast, but we've been saved by grace through faith. And this morning, that free gift of God's grace is His message that has come forth from His mouth. And it is a message that is free to everyone, and you can receive it by simply trusting in it, trusting in the message of Jesus, delivering the control of your life, surrendering the control of your life over to Him by believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, confessing that you need Him as that, confessing that you fall far short because of your weakness and your sin, and you need cleansing and you need forgiveness, and that forgiveness is free to all. It is that healing stream that flows from Calvary's mountain. It comes from the blood of Jesus, and it can be yours if you come to Christ, if you join Him in His death, burial, and resurrection in baptism, and you come out of those waters as a new creature with a new beginning, leaning upon the power that He provides, so that even in your weakness there is strength, inner strength within you, not strength that you muster up or conjure up or have the willpower to try to force within yourself, but a power, an inner strength that comes from God's own Spirit within the inner man, within the inner person. And that strength can be yours if you simply come to Christ. If we can help you in your obedience to Him, if you need a personalized Bible study where you can ask some questions and you can be guided more into the truth of God so that you follow His will for your life, or if you need prayers of encouragement, we're going to have a shepherd of this church up front that would love to have prayer with you. We can all pray together. If you have a more private concern, we'll have some shepherds in the hallway behind those double doors back there. You can go at the singing of this song and you can meet with them, and they'd love to pray with you privately. If we can help you in any way, come to Christ as we stand and as we sing.